This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Why isn't Asheville fighting a local redistricting plan from the state legislature? Last summer, state lawmakers created five districts for the Asheville City Council and delayed local elections for a year. Opponents say the state-drawn districts break up the power of African-American voters in Asheville. Similar laws were put into effect in Greensboro and Wake County, but officials in those areas fought the changes in court and won. So why is it the Asheville City Council staying quiet and delaying action? David Forbes is the editor of the Asheville Blade, who has reported on this and joins us from partner station Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. Welcome back, David.
Hello.
Tell us about this change. What is different now about elections in the city elections in Asheville after the state acted?
So previously, city elections are run under what's called an at-large system. There are six council members and the mayor, and they all serve four-year terms, and the terms are staggered. So every 2 years, three council members will come up for an election, and every city voter can vote for every open seat. The elections are also nonpartisan, so it's a matter of the primary just narrows it down to six, in the case of council, two, in the case of mayor, final competitors, and then the voters choose which one goes on to serve in that position.
This is the kind of thing that, and that has changed now, right? So what did the state law do?
Well, yes, that's unless it gets challenged in court, that's changed. The state law splits up five of the six council seats into districts, and the way those districts are drawn was mandated by the state law that was passed.
So why did the state say, why did state lawmakers, this is a GOP-led legislature, why did they say they had to interfere with the politics and of the state of the city of Asheville?
Well, this really started in 2015 or in 2016, and while the Republican legislators had kind of, you know, mentioned the idea before, even drafted up some legislation in some the years before to convert Asheville to a district system. During the elections that year, three very experienced right-wing candidates got wiped out. They didn't make it past the primary. And so really you started to see both with that election, with the one last year in 2017, kind of the end of the local right wing as far as its electoral prospects. And then the next year, the state senator, Tom Apodaca, former state senator, whose district includes a slice of South Asheville, brought this up, said it was necessary to get more representation from South Asheville. It actually failed that year, but the rationale is that, you know, they think it would bring more quote unquote balance. But a lot of observers and most Ashevillians who, you know, don't really like this proposal have noted that this coincided when local conservatives stopped being able to really win elections under this system.
All right. And we said the Republican-led legislature, but an important Democrat voted for this measure when it came up the final time when it did pass. Tell us about that.
So that was a surprise to a lot of observers. Typically, Republicans have pushed these bills through local Democratic opposition. And when this bill came up last year, I think a lot of people expected, hey, that's going to happen again, especially given the previous year council had put another planned district, the city, to a vote, and voters overwhelmingly, 75%, rejected it. So, you know, they figured this would, you know, the GOP would pass it, Democrats would oppose, and then this would probably go to court. But State Senator Terry Van Dyne, whose district includes most of Asheville, actually turned around and supported this. And she claimed that it would put the issue to rest, which obviously it hasn't, and also wanted to add a delay in city elections for a year. And the Republican pushing this, Senator Chuck Edwards, agreed to that readily. And so it passed through the state Senate and then the House, where Democrats did oppose it in the House. Mm.
And so that means elections are going to be delayed for a year. I want to get to that in a second. But let's talk about the way these districts were drawn, because critics are saying this is another deliberate effort by the legislature to dilute the black vote.
Yes. And looking at the maps, it's hard to see it any other way. So Asheville is one of the most segregated cities in North Carolina. Pick, you know, housing, policing, schools, in a lot of different ways, and so that has become more and more of an issue in local elections. Going into the 2015 elections, for example, you still had an all-white city council, and by the end of 2017, you had two African American members on council, which has been the most in three decades. So really, this more organized black vote has really been a key force in local city politics. It's brought a lot more issues around gentrification, the effects of this de facto segregation up. And then these districts come along, which, you know, take some of the precincts with the highest concentration of black voters and split them up. And since Asheville's predominantly black neighborhoods distributed around different parts of the city, these districts work very effectively to prevent those voters under the previous system, if they join together and find some common, you know, candidates or platforms, those voters can actually have a very big impact on city politics. And this splits up and diffuses that impact.
Which is very interesting, because if you think about it, having a lot of political power in an at-large system, right, where you are a significant minority, African-American voters make up a small portion of Asheville's population, the ability to organize on an at-large basis, you know, is a powerful thing all by itself. And to say that that was successful in electing two candidates, two African-American candidates, or seeing two candidates who had been elected under that system, really talks about the power of organizing the vote under that at-large system.
Yes.
Let's talk more about the delay now, because there's another question about whether or not the current slate of candidates and city council members are going to remain in office for an extra year that voters didn't really give them.
Yes, that's one of the other controversial aspects of this, too. That was put in last minute. Now, Asheville Mayor Esther Mannheimer is claiming that she personally favors moving elections to even years, requested that, and that Senator Van Dyne was kind of acting on her wishes. But when we interviewed her at the time, she actually referred to that as kind of a, quote, lipstick on a pig. The bill was still terrible. Notably, the bill was condemned by both Keith Young and Shanika Smith, who are the two black council members who were elected in the last two cycles, condemned in pretty harsh terms. But now, as public pressure has really started to grow around this issue late last year and early this year, council finally has responded a bit, and the mayor said they don't plan to fight the delay in city elections, which gives them all another year in office. And also, the council didn't request this change. The people of Asheville certainly didn't request this change. So really, it opens up a Pandora's box, because if, given the record of the North Carolina state legislature, if they start being able to delay elections, local and God forbid state, then we are operating in a very different world, and not a world that's friendly, frankly, to a lot of grassroots movements.
We are talking about growing pressure in Asheville to resist efforts by the state legislature to change the way people vote at the city level. We're talking about that today on The State of Things. My guest is David Forbes, editor of the Asheville Blade, who's been reporting on this. And the other thing is that the legislature has done similar or tried to make similar changes at the local level in Greensboro, Guilford County, I guess the city of Greensboro, and also in Wake County. In those cases, there were legal challenges almost immediately and successful.
Yes.
Why no legal challenge in Asheville, and what are city officials saying about the possibility of a suit against this change?
Well, that's one of the major questions here, and that's really the strangest part of this. You know, Greensboro and Wake County filed suit within weeks or even days. And each case, the old system was kind of held in place while federal judges looked over and eventually rejected those new systems. But in Asheville's case, you know, when this passed, city officials said, hey, we're looking at our options. We're considering what we're going to do on this. But then, you know, 6-7 months have gone by and nothing's happened. And so locals, really, given the massive public opposition to this new system, really kind of started to get concerned, started to talk publicly about this on social media, calling council members, showing up at council meetings. And really what they got was mostly silence. When we talked to council members last year, only two of them responded back, and they both said, both the mayor and Councilmember Julie Mayfield, oh, we're still looking into what to do. Currently, the city doesn't have a permanent city attorney, so we're maybe waiting to hire a new one, which would take until probably spring at least. But you did have more pressure grow in January, and finally, the last council meeting in late January, they did actually respond. And they responded partly by saying they weren't planning to fight the election delay, which was huge news in itself. But they also said they're still considering their legal options. And this has struck a lot of observers, myself included. I've covered city politics here for 13 years. It's kind of strange because the city of Asheville, any local government, has pretty considerable resources to hire or partner with, you know, experienced voting rights attorneys to challenge this. Certainly, even when the previous city attorney was in office, she, you know, could have clearly done some research on this because the bill was already coming down the pike. So really what they're saying is, hey, we still need more time. We might challenge this. We might do a referendum, which this law doesn't ban, but that would still push elections back by a year. But really, I think the public's patience from what we're seeing at council meetings is really kind of starting to wear thin because, like we just mentioned, the other two local governments where this happened were able very successfully to fight back. And bowing to the state legislature is bluntly not a very popular position in the city of Asheville.
Obviously, it's teetering on the brink at the moment. You're seeing some movement, and I've just left you about 30 seconds for this, David. But any sense that this pressure is really moving the dial, both for State Senator Van Dyne and the city council?
For city council, it definitely is. You are seeing more pressure on them at every meeting, and you're really seeing them having to respond to that where they were definitely staying silent before.
David Forbes is editor of the Asheville Blade and joins us from the studios of Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can find links to her reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we're going to talk about poverty in North Carolina, and we're going to take a very personal view from a law professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.